I'm Chris Rebolo with a report on the costs of moderate to high alcohol use in the state of California and a proposal to raise the state's beer tax. This is a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation.
Our estimates are that alcohol is causing over 9,400 deaths per year, and in economic terms, is costing California over $38 billion a year.
That's Michelle Simon, the research and policy director for the Marin Institute. The self-appointed industry watchdog released a report last month that set an annual price tag for alcohol abuse at roughly $1,000 per state resident. Costs for illnesses took up 48% of the total. Other costs were associated with injuries, crime, and traffic accidents. The study, the nation's first comprehensive state report, defined problem drinkers as women who have more than 1.5 drinks daily and men who have more than 3 drinks a day. The Institute is calling the situation catastrophic.
We tend to focus more on acute, dramatic disasters when they happen, which is understandable, but alcohol is something that's happening every day, and yet it is catastrophic because when we get to numbers like over 9,000 people a year and $38 billion a year, if that was happening in any other context, you know, like plane crashes or like earthquakes, I think we'd probably be paying a little more attention.
Simon's organization is calling for a number of steps to address the situation, including a hike in alcohol taxes. One proposal is already in the works. San Jose Assembly Democrat Jim Bell is well known for his focus on mental health and substance abuse. He plans on introducing a constitutional amendment this summer once the budget is approved.
The reason it'll be a constitutional amendment is because the funds will be targeted to the specific areas of prevention and treatment for alcohol-related problems. So it'll only be spent on that. It won't be used to backfill the general fund or anything like that.
If approved in Sacramento, Bell's amendment would go to the voters in 2010. Taxes would be increased about 15 cents per can of beer, raising about $500 million a year. The measure would only impact large brewers, those that produce more than 60,000 barrels annually. In California, beer taxes are currently set at 20 cents per gallon and haven't been increased since 1991. Bell says that's no accident.
It just goes to show you how powerful the lobbyists are in Sacramento that lobby for alcohol interest. They have armies of lobbyists wandering the halls, and they're usually lobbyists that are very expensive, so they're good lobbyists. They give large amounts of campaign contributions to everybody from the governor on down.
Why go after beer? Bell says it's the most abused alcoholic beverage. 60% of all beer is consumed in amounts that meet the criteria for binge drinking.
Beer is the predominant choice of underage drinkers. 17.5% of the beer that's consumed is consumed by underage drinkers. It's clear that the marketing strategies are targeted for young drinkers.
Freed Whitman is a specialist with the Institute for the Study of Social Change at UC Berkeley. He supports Bell's proposal. He says raising the beer tax would reduce consumption.
In regards to young people in particular, who generally have less disposable income, they're usually more susceptible to price increases. Alcohol is a price-elastic beverage, and so the more you charge per unit of alcohol, the less people are likely to drink of it.
Calls to the California Beer and Beverage Distributors Association, as well as the Distilled Spirits Council of the United States, were not returned. The Beer Institute said they could only comment on federal excise taxes. Edward Stringham is a professor of economics at San Jose State. He's received national attention for a 2006 study that claims drinkers earn more than teetotalers because of the social networking nature of drinking.
The vast majority of people who drink do not abuse alcohol. So the majority of people in America drink, and the majority of those people do not abuse alcohol. And the question is whether taxing all drinkers is either a fair or an economically efficient way of dealing with a select few problem drinkers. And it seems to me that if there's a problem with a few people, the solution is not to ban alcohol, or the solution is not to make alcohol expensive for everybody else, but the solution would be to try and help the people in need rather than hurting everybody else.
It will almost certainly be a bloody battle if Bell's amendment makes it to the ballot. The Marin Institute released a report last year showing the alcohol industry spending more than $6 million in the state in 2007 in campaign contributions and lobbying efforts. The Institute talks about big alcohol in terms used to describe big tobacco, saying that annual costs of alcohol problems in California are more than twice that of tobacco. Whitman says comparing alcohol with tobacco is not out of line, and that any campaign aimed at raising the beer tax should include a look at industry tactics, along with an economic reality check.
I think it's also important just to start looking at how the state of California is going to approach its budgeting policy. The whole question of budget reform now, I think, is huge in the state. And looking at the notion of the alcoholic beverage industry in some form paying its fair share of the offsetting expenses of the problems associated with alcohol, a sort of a pay-as-you-go approach, might also be something they could look at.
Given that a possible ballot measure is at least 2 years away, what else is on the substance abuse legislative agenda? Bell's call for a new Secretary of Addiction Prevention got stalled in appropriations, but he thinks bills that would allow counties and nonprofits to take advantage of federal Medicaid drug funds have a good shot at making it to the governor's desk for signature. He's also optimistic about AB 346, aimed primarily at so-called Alka-Pops, the fruit-based alcoholic drinks often favored by the young. The bill would require distinct labeling on all beverages that contain alcohol.
It's really difficult to tell. One energy drink has nothing in it but caffeine and herbal energy kind of things. And then the other one will have the same stuff, the caffeine and herbal energy stuff and alcohol. And they have ones that look like nail polish. One's called hot chocolate. It looks like chocolate. It's like very deceptive stuff. And these little squeezy gel packs, and they advertise those as being able to hide them so you can get into concerts with them. Anyway, they're all over the schools. Do we need kids drinking alcohol in schools? That's the issue. The answer is no, as far as I'm concerned.
Bell has been working on the labeling measure for a year and a half. He is purposely targeting the beer tax amendment for 2010 to give himself extra time to get it through the legislature. The former Santa Clara County supervisor is not naive about what he's up against, but he also thinks people are starting to think twice about the problem.
The reality is, no matter how many TV commercials you watch, you always know somebody that's been affected by alcoholism. And our hope is that that would overwhelm any of their marketing schemes. Because I think people have a deep-seated feeling about this. And I think people think that people that drink more should pay more.
This has been a special report for California Healthline, a daily news service from the California Healthcare Foundation. If you have feedback or other issues you'd like to have addressed, please email us at chl@chcf.org. I'm Chris Rebelo. Thanks for listening.